Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church, thanking you for joining us on this broadcast today. Well, throughout this whole week, I'm telling you about an offer and a challenge, okay? As we're beginning this new year, my challenge to you is kind of a twofold challenge. Will you get into God's Word every day by reading 5 Psalms and 1 Proverb every day throughout this year? And by doing so, you will actually read through the book of Proverbs 12 times, the book of Psalms 12 times. I promise you, your life will be different as you read through these Psalms and these Proverbs. As a matter of fact, there's a free app. I love free things, don't you? I tell you, I look for free things, okay? Because I'm kind of tight when it comes to spending money. But here's a free app that will help you to stay in reading God's Word, reading the Psalms 5 a day. It's called the 5 Psalm app. Now, you know that you have this free app because you see a picture of a hand, a blue hand, and across the front of that hand, on the inside palm of that hand, is the word Psalms, but it's in Hebrew, okay? So if you get that app, it's a free app, and you click on it every day, if you open up that app, whatever day it is, January 15th is going to show January 15th on that app, and it's going to cause you to read January 15th, Psalm 15, and then go 30 chapters ahead every day. Now, the good thing about this is that you have this opportunity to kind of break it up, and you break the cycle of getting bored, right? And you have a different way of approaching it, and that app will help keep you on track, okay? And then read one proverb every single day. Now, the book of Psalms is the songs of David. Some call them the songs of Jesus. The book of Proverbs gives you wisdom. Psalms gives you comfort. And so I want to encourage you, that's your challenge, every day this year. Now, if you will also take another challenge, I have a devotional book that I want to give to you, okay? And it is a devotional book by Timothy Keller. And if you will send me your email address, I'll give you an opportunity to get a weekly email from me, but I'll give you this book free. You can call the church, 421-7500. That's 757-421-7500. Give me your name, your address, and I'll send you the book. If you want to get a weekly update email from me, I'm going to kind of do some things of reflecting on what I've learned as I've gone through this challenge with you, reading Psalms, reading Proverbs, reading this devotional by Timothy Keller, God's Wisdom for Navigating Life, okay? So just call me and give me your address, your name, and I will send that to you. If you want to get the email every week from me, give me your email, and I'll be happy to send that to you. You can email me personally if you want. C. Corbett, C-C-O-R-B-I-T-T at hrcc7.org. C. Corbett at hrcc, the number 7.org. And just tell me you want to be put on that email list, and I'll make sure you get on that list, okay? I'm so excited about the new year. We are looking forward to God doing great things. We're still doing drive-in church at 9 o'clock, inside worship at 10:30. Some Sundays it's kind of cold out there. But we're going to be out there until this coronavirus is beyond us and behind us, and we want to keep you safe. So I'd love to have you come worship with us this weekend, 9 o'clock or 10:30. Well, this week we've been going through what I consider gifts that God gives us. We've talked about the gift of joy. We've talked about the gift of peace yesterday. And today I want to talk to you on the gift of truth. The gift of truth. But before I get into truth, I want to talk a little more about peace, okay? We kind of ran out of time on the broadcast yesterday. But you know, in Northern Ireland, there's a city that's so divided, part of the population calls its city Londonderry, and others call it Derry. Now, as you think about the division that is in this Northern Ireland city, in this city, Protestants live on the East Bank, Catholics live on the West Bank. Now, many of these two groups don't like to mix, so one of the solutions was to build a bridge, a 900-foot bridge, and it curves like a snake for all of its walkers and joggers and cyclists, and they named it Peace Bridge. That's what they're trying to do, build a bridge, build peace between the Catholics and the Protestants. Well, I want you to know that you will have great peace if you are united around Christ. You see, truth is, we lose peace because of sin. We lose peace because of pride. And I want you to look at this subject of truth today. Now, when I believe a lie, truth begins to die. Life begins to die. George Orwell says, in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. You know, most Christmas seasons, I drive up to New England to see my family, but because of the coronavirus this year, I was unable to do that. But in years past, as I would drive up to New England, up the Eastern Shore, over the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel, I would drive past a church that was called Grace and Truth. Now, I thought that was a great name for a church, right? Because you really hold these two things in tension. Now, if you're only wanting grace, you're going to be tending to be ones who will go ahead and compromise on issues of sin. But if you're only truth, then you'll be one who will be very unforgiving and won't be able to give in and help others. You know, that word grace is really Christ's riches at Christ's expense. So the truth is we need both. We need grace and we need truth. In John 1:14, it says that the Word, that's Jesus, became flesh and took up residence among us, and we observed his glory, the glory of the one and only Son from the Father. Get this, full of grace and truth. You see, Jesus took up residence. That means that he tabernacled. As we think about this issue of grace and truth, you see, wrongly applied, truth is like science. Science itself can become a religion. In a scientific method we can find in the Bible. As we think about this matter of truth, we must know the truth. We must buy up the truth. Chuck Klosterman addresses the possibility that the greatest certainties might one day be disproven. At one point, he states, previous certainties about dinosaurs, as an example. They were once known to be cold-blooded like reptiles. But now it is a fact that they were warm-blooded like birds. Such reversals are regular occurrences as the scientific community refines what is known. As we think about that, you think about change. How do we change? I believe we change by grace and truth. As a matter of fact, we're doing a campaign in our church beginning in mid-February, and the title of the campaign is How Do We Change? Grace changes everything. Truth changes everything. You know, there are four factors that influence my perception of truth. So I want to go through these four perceptions and make sure that as we are funneling things through our mind, that we are really funneling them based upon the reality of what is happening. So first is my perception of truth is influenced by my experiences, whether they're positive or negative. Going to a lovely restaurant for a great meal, and it's perfect until you get ready to leave and the waiter spills coffee all over you, okay? So that experience impacted what happened at that event. Now, there's a second factor that influences my perception of truth, not only my experiences, my personal experiences, but number two, emotions. Do you remember that song that Debbie Boone sang many years ago, You Light Up My Life? And in that, she says, it can't be wrong when it feels so right. You see, our emotions play a vital role in our lives. I encourage people often, you know, you cannot help but have emotions. God wired us to have emotions. You see, there's times we should be happy. There's times we should be sad. We are told in the Bible that we're to rejoice with those who rejoice and we're to weep with those who weep. But emotions should never be the driving force of your life. They ought to be not the engine of the train, but they ought to be the caboose of the train. Emotions don't lead to motion. Knowing the truth leads to that motion, and doing the right thing creates the right emotions. What is the third thing that affects us in our perception of truth? And that is our education. The amount of education that you received, and not only the type of education, the amount of education, but your whole background when it comes to this matter of education. And I want you to know that many people in the United States of America have received a very tainted education as it's been given to us through a revisionist mindset, changing the history of our nation to fit into a particular mold. That's why you got to know the truth. That's why you got to know the Word of God. And I encourage you, if you have young people in your life, to make sure they get into the Word of God while they are young. You know, that mind is like a sponge and it can absorb a lot of things. That's why I love the Awana ministry, and I love the opportunity to be involved in the lives of children, because if you train them while they're young, you'll have that opportunity to have a lifelong follower of Christ. Jesus said this about truth. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus revealed himself through grace and through truth. So what I want to do for the remainder of the broadcast, we just have about 15 minutes left. I want to go through and reveal to you how Jesus taught truth. And we actually spell out the word truth so I can hopefully remember it. Maybe you can remember a little better too. Letter T is that he actually would be revealing truth by touching lives. In Mark chapter 10, it says that people were bringing the children to Jesus for him to touch them. Then he embraced them and he laid hands on them and he gave them his blessing. Now, this is amazing when you think about it, because touching somebody, if it's a right kind of touch, obviously, actually brings comfort. You know, one of the things that's been so difficult during this crazy pandemic or this coronavirus is that we've had this lack of meaningful touch. You know, one of the things I really miss is at the end of every service, I used to be at the back door and hugging on everybody and talking to everybody. And because of the coronavirus, I kind of now stay at the front. And as people go out the door with their mask on, I wave to them and give them, you know, signs that, hey, I love you, and air hugs. And it's just different, right? As we think about touching somebody, that brings comfort. Jesus touched the children and he embraced them and he laid hands on them and he gives them a blessing. You know, there's something very special about touching people. As a matter of fact, that lack of touch is actually killing us emotionally. Well, because of time, I've got to move on to the second point. But we also see not only did Jesus touch people, he also related to humanity. You know, the way that you can expose truth to people or reveal truth to people is to identify with what they're going through. Relating to humility. In Philippians chapter 2, it says this, but Jesus emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, becoming as human beings are, and being in every way like a human being. You see, he didn't relate to us from a distance. He walked through life just like we walk through life. He set aside some of his power so that he could identify with what we feel like when we are powerless. He went so far as to wash the disciples' feet. And then he died in our place. Proverbs 16:18 says, better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil of the proud. You see, God says, I'm going to relate to you so that you can relate to others. Now, let me repeat that because you may have missed what I'm trying to say here. What I'm trying to say is that Jesus became human so that he could relate to us to help us to relate to others. You see, we're supported in our times of need, and we need encouragement in our times of need. We need support. So don't avoid, don't isolate yourself from others. They need you, and you need them. You see, we chronically forget how much of a difference it makes that we have access to other people. We have access to their thoughts. We have access to their emotions. You see, life is very complex. As we think about connecting with one another, we walk a mile in their shoes. Now, this is hard for us sometimes to do because we are so ego-based. We are so focused on our own little lives. I would use a term like we're globe heads, right? We think everything revolves around us. But I want to encourage you to invest in the lives of others. Relate well with others. Identify with what they're going through. That's exactly what Jesus did. You see, relating to somebody brings about encouragement. There are so many times where I'm at a loss for words as to how I can help somebody. But I just sit down with them, and I noticed something about good counselors. Not too long ago, I was in a counseling session, and I wasn't the one receiving the counsel, or I wasn't the one giving the counsel. I was just there as a support. And so I wasn't going to say anything. I was just sitting in there, just observing and being a support to the person that was there. And I noticed something about this counselor as I was sitting there. This counselor was very intentional about listening. I would watch this guy as he would ask a question of the client. Then he'd lean into that person and just wait. Just lean in and just wait for an answer. He spent much more time listening than he did speaking. He related to what that person was going through. He listened intently. We're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that we're to encourage one another. We're to build each other up. So every day, every single day, try to encourage someone somewhere. So Jesus taught truth by touching lives, by relating to us. And letter U would stand for the fact that Jesus related truth to us or gave truth to us by understanding the real need. In other words, Jesus didn't meet needs that were not needs. He met real felt needs. Mark chapter 2 says this, verse number 5. Seeing how much faith they had, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My son, your sins are forgiven." You see, the real need that you are experiencing today is forgiveness. You may say, "I don't need forgiveness. The one who is hurting me needs forgiveness." If you don't need forgiveness, why are you hurting so much? Why are you bitter toward that person to whom you think needs forgiveness? You see, the real need is being healed. And when we have faith in the healer, look at how the healing was given to this paralyzed man. It was given by forgiveness. You see, when Jesus forgave him of his sins, he was instantly healed of his paralysis. When you're looking at being healed, you cannot be healed of something that you're nursing. You must let it go. We are healed when we believe something in faith. Now, maybe you're listening to today and you're afraid to let go of anger because in a strange way, it's keeping you connected to that person who has hurt you. Now, you're thinking in a strange way that if I stay mad at that person, I'm holding him captive. Anger is a form of intense, albeit attachment, just like love. Both forms of emotional intensity keep us close to the other person, which is why so many couples are legally divorced, but not emotionally divorced. If you can't talk on the phone or be in the same room with your ex-spouse without feeling your stomach clenching together, then you're still attached. Now, this is a good thing when it comes to love. It's a bad thing when it comes toward bitterness. You know, I think about my wife often. I think good thoughts about her. And I actually grow more in love when I do that. If I think negative things about her, I actually grow more toward bitterness about her. So I decided a long time ago that I'm going to spend more time thinking about good things about my wife than I am about the bad things about her. You know, the truth be known, every one of us have good things about us. Every one of us have bad things about us. Every one of us has some really quirky things that we do that irritates the snot out of everybody else, right? But everybody has good things that can bring blessing to others. So focus on the good. You know, exposing the real need to somebody brings about forgiveness and healing. Jesus understood the real need that this man had was not to be healed of being paralyzed. He needed to be healed of his sins. You see, when you look at somebody and you forgive that person, you are providing a need that they had. So I want to encourage you today. Who is it that you refuse to like on social media? When you're looking at the post, who do you disdain? Who do you hate hearing something good be said about? Who do you cop an attitude with? You know, dropping snide comments about? Who are you spreading rumors about? Or who are you listening to others gossip about? That's probably the person you need to forgive. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus is speaking at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "But I say unto you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of fire." So Jesus expressed truth through understanding the real need. Jesus also expressed truth not only by touching and relating and understanding the particular need, but Jesus also expressed truth by telling the truth. Jesus answered in John 3:3, "I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot be in the kingdom of God. Now, this is some hard truth, but it's a truth that must be told. You know, there's not many ways to heaven. There's one way. Jesus is that one way. Warren Wiersbe said this, "Truth without love is brutality, and love without truth is hypocrisy. Telling somebody the truth brings about salvation." So here's what I want to ask you. I know it's a brand new year. We're just days into 2021. Have you shared the gospel with anybody in 2021? You say, well, we just started this year. Okay, I'll give you a break. Let's look back at 2020. Did you share the gospel with anybody in the year 2020? Okay, how about 2019? Okay, how about 2018? 2017? In the last 5 years, have you shared the gospel with anyone? You know, one of the reasons that we don't reach people with the gospel is because we are not spiritually stable. I'm not talking about just showing up consistently. I'm talking about living and thinking consistently. Ephesians 4 says this, "We should no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we grow to become, in every respect, mature. We become like Christ, who is the head. He is the head of the whole body, and he fits us together by every supporting ligament. It grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Wow, what a powerful passage this is. It is a passage on really humility, lowering ourselves, not being like infants, not being tossed back and forth, not being blown away by every wind and doctrine and teaching, but being consistent. Speaking that truth in love, we actually grow up. So we could say here, this particular passage, in humility. What is humility? I avoid thinking more highly of myself than I ought. I have a low profile of my life. In humility, I actually count others as more significant than myself. Now, this is a tough one, right? Because I think all of us struggle with this. We know we're not perfect. We know we're far from perfect, but we think we're just a little bit above somebody else. They don't see something that we see. We're just a notch above them. We're not way above them. We're just a little bit above them. In humility, we listen first and speak last. That old expression, God gave us two ears and one mouth so we could listen twice as much as we speak. In humility, deal with a matter privately as possible. Yeah, that's humility. I'm going to deal with this thing. I'm not going to make a public example of this person. I'm going to do it in private. In humility, I'm going to be honest about my own struggles and my own limitations. In humility, I'm going to be honest about the graces of others. In humility, I'm going to speak the truth, and I'm going to speak it in love. Well, there's one final point we've got to cover today in the broadcast. We talked about Jesus expressed truth by touching, physically touching, by relating, by understanding, by telling the truth, in letter H, by holding us up in prayer. John 17:20, Jesus says, "I'm praying not just for these followers," that's the followers he had when he was here on this earth. He says, "I'm also praying for everyone else who have faith because of what my followers will say about me." You see, holding people up in prayer brings about illumination. That is how we're able to come to that truth. We pray, "God, would you open the hearts of those who are blinded? Would you open up the hearts to those who are callous and hardened toward spiritual things?" I think as we pray for people and fervently intercede on their behalf, we can see God do mighty things to turn their lives around. Well, in the last moments of this broadcast, I want to encourage you, my friend, to be involved in serving God in a local church. If you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you come worship with us at Hickory Ridge Community Church, 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South in Chesapeake, Virginia. Every Sunday at 9 o'clock or 10:30, we worship. We'd love to have you come. If you come to the later hour, we have a Sunday school class. We have the nurseries and the preschools and all that at the later hour. If you come to 9 o'clock, that's our drive-in service. I'd love to have you come and worship with us. I promise you, we'll make you feel right at home, and we'd love to have you come and join us. So think about that and be part of what God is doing. So I want to close off our broadcast reminding you to be in God's Word, taking up that challenge to read 5 Psalms every morning, to read 1 proverb every afternoon. And if you're interested in getting that free devotional book, I'd be happy to send it to you. Just give me a call at the church, 757-421-7500, 757-421-7500, and I'll be happy to mail that to you. Just give me your name and address, okay? God bless you. Thank you for tuning in today.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.